highlights of this document. There's certainly ways to, other what I call administrivia language that would follow, that attorneys love to put in. But I wanted to make sure that you heard from us tonight, that we took seriously your comments that you made to us a month and a half ago, and I really tried to put those in place as best as we can to make those basically a memorandum of cooperation, a cooperation agreement between CSRS and AICS and this body, as well as your desire to bring in like this morning. So with that, we've just completed giving the employees here a 3% increase as of February 1. And I think at this point, probably, I know our attorneys will continue to work with your attorney. I think we've provided probably as much information as we know how to give. And I think at this point, we'll wait to hear back from the city as to the next steps. Because I think we've probably provided enough information at this time. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sure Jeff advised you that after the attorneys are through talking and doing their thing, we're certainly willing to have a special meeting to address this issue.
Thank you, Mayor Jack. I hope the attorneys will be able to work out some things. I think the concern that we're certainly aware of is that there's business elements and then there's just legal elements, and I'm hopeful that that will be able to resolve that. We'll have to wait and see.
Thank you. I'm going to call recess here for a couple minutes so that Bart Conine can be connected by his phone. And the time is 7:37. Everybody need to go to the first call.
Yeah, that's right.
Who's on the phone?
She's on the
board.
Oh, hi, Bart. Oh, okay. Hi, Kara. Thanks for calling.
Sure, thank you. Okay, we're in a recess right now, so I'm just going to go ahead and turn off the volume, and when that item comes up, if they have questions.
Oh, they're right up.
Okay, that'll work perfectly.
Thank you.
If there's a way to move that up.
So we should have done changes to the agenda.
Oh. Move this to the next one.
Yeah, sure. When the mayor comes.
That way she would have to, I get called on the phone.
Right.
And there's a lot of people.
I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about that. I should have done that.
I didn't know she was going to call me.
I did. Shame on her.
Sometime before I put in water, I talk to you about your program.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've never gone to four smokes, so I'm not sure what I
just like to start it and run it.
Yeah,
so.
Just go. You do your services, and once a year, I mean, let's put over 100 hours on it. Servicing.
What did you get?
You got a new boat.
A new boat.
Yeah, it's like a 22, 23 foot Hughes craft.
So it's right. Out out here?
Yeah.
Oh,
did you see it?
No, I was pounding snow all day.
No, it's got a.
I was in the shop like maybe 3 hours.
Is that a jet boat?
No, it's a prop. It's for out here.
I'll go look.
I've already
it.
Got a boat for the river.
Yeah, I'll go look at it tomorrow. Here,
no, it's yeah. But yeah, it's got a 250 on it. Yeah. It's got more electronics on it. I'll probably even use it. It's got about $10,000 worth of electronics. Radar, GPS, so it's all tied together.
NEMA, they call that NEMA.
But I did want to put a heater in. So I'm talking about this.
Yeah, well, I'll look at it tomorrow. I mean, maybe you come up with an idea because, I mean, you want to put a heater in it. I mean, you might as well get see what I'll give you options and everything.
Sounds good.
And there are actually cheaper options too. It's just, we'll talk.
Cheaper options is another coat.
That's your day. That's the cheapest. Snuggle up to your honey.
Are we ready? You guys hoarding the candy over here?
There ain't no candy left.
Are we ready?
So I ate it all.
Patty.
Ready?
You want to join us?
Okay.
We convene this assembly meeting at 7:40 p.m. Item 12, unfinished business, there is none. Item 13.
Mr. Mayor?
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to make a motion.
Yes.
I'd like to suspend the rules and move item 13E, which is the discussion of from the Wrangell Medical Center Board regarding the request from the Assembly to conduct a cost-benefit analysis up to 13A.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Poll, please. Any discussion?
Discussion.
Well, we have members in the audience.
And we have someone on the phone.
Right.
You're right.
Good idea.
Poll, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Persunka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. So we'll take up that item 13E. Which is discussion of the information received from the Wrangell Medical Center Board regarding a request from the Assembly to conduct a cost-benefit analysis.
Well, I'll start the discussion.
Can we have a motion?
It's just a discussion.
That's right. Okay.
And I've read the cost analysis benefit that was provided by Wrangell Medical Center, and it does appear that it really does pencil out to use TruBridge in terms of securing payment for the hospital. And if there is any problem, they can call the hospital. There are personnel there that are more than willing to help anyone who may have trouble with the billing service.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes,
go ahead. One thing that I found interesting also from their report was that how many small hospitals actually do contract out their billing because they need that expertise. And I was really surprised, and I really think that's another good reason to continue using TruBridge.
Yes.
I do have one complaint about this whole billing service, and I'm using myself as an example. My wife went in for a simple procedure, and a year later, we get billed for it. A year later. This is ridiculous. If we can't get a bill out in 30 days, we're going backwards here. What's going on? So, you know, and then you send it off down south, and they punch in the computer. So you get this bill, and you say, well, I thought I paid that. And you have to go back through a year's worth of records to see if you've paid that bill or not. I mean, something's going wrong here, and I really have a problem sometimes with sending our records and our bills 3,000 miles away and letting somebody else take care of it.
Well, to my own experience, I've actually found it not to be bad at all. It's a little unnerving when somebody from down south phones me in an accent and says, hey, pay your bill. Because I usually like Rose to phone and harass me. She's kinder and gentler, but maybe that's not what we need. and I actually haven't in the community, I haven't had a lot of complaints. And Rose and I did have a discussion today because I was up paying my bill about the woman that did call me, and she was very interested in, did she harass me? Was she haranguing me? And she wasn't. It's just, I'm used to 20 years of having somebody I know call me and say, hey, because typically I don't know when we're done with insurance and when we're not, and when I go pay it and how long I wait, and so I don't, you know, that's my confusion. As a matter of fact, I went and paid a bill today that I didn't even know what it was for, and we have to try to go back and figure that out. That's not TruBridge's fault. That's not the hospital's fault. That's just kind of the way it turned out. So I appreciate, with that said, I've had good experiences, and I've had other people talk to me about experiences that were fine. What I want to say mostly is I appreciate the work that went into this report, and I read it very carefully. And this is really what I was looking for, is I wanted to just not sort of emotionally bow forward with sending $250,000 a year out of our community to this other. I wanted to kind of have some numbers and some way for us to quantify it. And I'm sure it's a pain in the butt to go through and pull this all together, but I appreciate that. And I also respect that there's probably some estimation that has to go on for time, of people's time, for training, for all that, because it's tough to quantify that. So from that standpoint, I'm really pleased that you guys brought this forward to us, and I appreciate that effort in it. I think it goes a long way to show me that there's some great due diligence there. And at the end of the day, sending out your bills, I also work with the clinic and the dentist office, and it seems to be the same story there. And I think a function of that is how Blue Cross works and rejections and all that stuff, that it seems like they have to bill and rebill. And by the time I actually know what my portion to pay is, and sometimes I have to go fight with my insurance company to get them to pay more, it takes time. So maybe having people outside of the community asking people for the money may not be a bad thing, because when that nice lady with the accent calls me, I pay attention. So that's my only thoughts. But I do really appreciate the time that you guys spent on this report.
May I say something, please?
Sure, go ahead.
This is Barb Conine, and I am a board member, and I was one of the members on this committee who went through this, and I am really pleased to hear what you're saying, because to us it really was a shock to learn all of these things. And one of the biggest things was the fact that a year ago we wrote off $1.25 million that got too old. We can't do that anymore. We want a new hospital. We have to look like we're financially stable. So we need a cash flow that isn't peaks and valleys, but kind of, you know, mellowed out. We have money in the bank right now because Medicare paid, but what Medicare give us, Medicare taketh away. So we just can't afford to have this, you know, extreme cash flow and then no cash flow. We need this. And one of the best things was the compliance officer stating that by TrueBridge assuming the liability, we didn't. So that means if we don't get the money, TrueBridge is responsible for getting it for us, not us.
Well, thank you, Barb.
Sorry, Barb, can I ask you a question? So what you're saying is if an individual doesn't pay, TrueBridge pays for us? Is that...
No. But they follow the claim all the way through the process.
Okay.
And like the one person was saying, and what Rose explained to me, what we lost were all the claims that it went off to the primary insurance carrier. And then it had to go to the secondary carrier. And then it had to go to the tertiary carrier. She said some people have as many as five. Well, if you've got something wrong in the coding, by the time you go back through the entire sequence, you've lost the money. With TrueBridge right there, if something doesn't go through right away, they figure it out. So we don't lose things as much to timing out, because it has to go through all these different hands.
Well, thank you. Does anyone else have any questions?
So you're saying that they have the ability to research and recode?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, I mean, they can do all those things. They can send it back quicker and say, look, this is what you need to do. You know, instead of the poor ladies up there giving something back a month or two later, and they don't even know it's wrong. You know, now there's a company who's in business to sort this out. And that's why it's really so important.
Is that correct on the coating drawers?
When the primary goes out and the coating's wrong, it can come back to the as a denial, and we don't know when we were doing it, it would come back as a denial, and sometimes it's not caught. It goes on to the secondary billing as denied, and we don't know it. And then when TruBridge does it, it comes back as a denial, it set as a situation, and it comes right to one of us to fix it. Okay, they denied it for this, and then okay, we'll go in and we'll fix the coding. If it's a coding situation, we go to the medical records and say, okay, they denied for this code, what can you do about it? And then it's fixed and sent back to the primary instead of going through the secondary, tertiary as denied before it comes back to, okay, let's rework this. It saves a year.
So why did TruBridge catch it and you can't?
Because the way we did billing, there was a primary biller, a secondary, and two billers that did the secondary, and that's just all we knew, how we did it. It was how it was worked out. It's because they have hundreds of billers doing it, and we had three people. And they have the expertise to keep current on the billing rules and the billing, everything that has to do with billing. We don't. We just don't.
And don't the codes change frequently? They keep,
yes, they do.
They keep modifying those codes, and if you're one digit off or a hyphen, then it's denied.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the codes are the modifiers that go with the codes. And in your situation, it could be that it was just plain denied, and it has to go through a big, you have one or two insurances, and we don't send you a bill until every insurance has paid. And Medicare can take up to 6 months to pay.
Yeah. That's soon?
Exactly. And that's, if they don't pay within 6 months, that's the way it goes. If they don't pay within a year, then that's it. We can't build the secondary. And if they don't pay within a year, if we can't prove to them that we billed them within that year, then we've lost it for time. And they get to decide whether or not we don't get to.
Anyone else have any questions for any of the hospital staff? Yes.
I just want to agree. Thank you for putting this together. It was really helpful for us. And, had to throw in my annoyance at the whole system. I know it's no one's fault in this room, but God, it's annoying. I hate it.
But with that being said, if anyone has any trouble with billing, they can call the hospital. And there are wonderful people there who will gladly help them and explain to them and any problem and all.
Yeah, and that's
well, because we don't want our people mistreated, our patients
and
here.
And like I said, I purposely did not pay my bill so that I would get those quality control. I wanted the people to call me because I was getting the same complaints. Well, so and so called me, I heard this big person called me. I can't use the term that was used because how do you know what nationality a person is over the telephone? So called me and was telling me. So I didn't pay my bill. I think I did it three different times to hear what kind of call I would get, and they were nothing but nice. So I think if you have a problem with them talking to you and the way they're talking to you, maybe it's a chip on your shoulder. I don't know, because I never had any problem with it. And I let them call me three different times. So if it were me getting that bill, because I've had to get a call from them, you have to have not paid your bill for three consecutive months. Pay the bill.
Well, I have to say that I called TruBridge, mm-hmm. and they did so much work to figure out what was going on because it was one of those uncoded untimely ones when it was transitioning, and they worked so hard, and they got to the bottom of it, and they called me back several times, and you weren't just talking in a vacuum. You know how sometimes you call mm-hmm. one person, you get another person, you get another. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't like that. So I have to say good things about TruBridge.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Well, thank you all. Thank you, Barb.
Thank you for
okay,
calling in.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Then moving back to 13A, proposed ordinance number 930, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City of Willow, Mongol, Alaska, amending certain sections of Title V, Revenue and Finance, of the Wrangell Municipal Code relating to the penalties and interest on late payments of sales tax and property tax.
Move to approve the first reading ordinance number 930 to move to the second with a public hearing to be held on March 14th, 2017.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
I like the monthly basis instead of interest and penalty on a daily basis, because I do know that causes problems. You tell somebody what their penalty is on Tuesday and they come in Friday and then you have to rework it, so like that.
Poll, please.
Assembly members Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13B, proposed resolution number 02-17-1364. A resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, adopting an alternative allocation method for the fiscal year 2017 Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program and certifying that this allocation method fairly represents the distribution of significant effects of fisheries business activity and fisheries management in Fisheries Management Area 18, Central Southeast.
Move to adopt resolution number 02-17-1364 that adopts an alternative allocation method for the fiscal year 2017 Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13C, discussion followed by consensus for the borough manager final interview process. Anyone have any comments or how they'd like to proceed with that?
Well, I wasn't here the last time, but I did send along some feedback, and I think David shouldered some of that stuff that I suggested through, but I just like the idea of the community having a chance to meet this person, but also, and I appreciate that Jeff put forward a great effort with this person to take her around and show her places and everything, but I just think it'd be nice to have a little reception and introduce them to some people, and hopefully we're down to the point where these are people that we're interested in coming, because there's two sides to that coin. The first side is, we pick you, and the second side of the coin is they pick us. And so if we can put forward kind of a nice reception or a nice welcome to them within, you know, whatever our budget constraints are, I just think it will set us up, hopefully, that the person that we really want to come will feel welcome and want to come. With the last person, I was just worried they're going to be sitting over at the Stikine by themselves in their room eating a not-so-famous pizza. Not that that's bad pizza, but I just sort of thought them sitting by themselves watching TV might not be the best foot forward.
Yeah.
Well, I had a thought, too. I know when the new school superintendent, when that process was going on, the community was invited to come for an evening and meet with the, I think it was the top, was it two, mm-hmm. candidates, and they actually had forms for people to fill out anonymously your opinion of these folks. You could write anything down you wanted and give it to the school board. The school board was making the decision. I mean, you're not making the community members are not making the decision for the school board. The school board is just taking that information, you know, just like their own experience meeting this person. I thought that's a good idea. Similar thing was done, I think, not exactly the same, but a community meeting with the new hospital administrator when that process that was narrowed down to the top three. So I personally would like to see something along those lines, at least with, you know, our department heads and our boards, our elected boards, things like that in the community, with our top whatever number of candidates we end up bringing to the community.
Could I didn't see it in here, but I also had sent forward, I'd like us to do some preliminary investigative work on all of them, and I think we did, and we turned up something on one man through a simple Google search. Mm-hmm. I really would like to see that come forward to the borough, to the assembly, that that's an issue, so that we can formulate a question. Because what I don't want to have happen is that I blindly vote yes to somebody, have them show up, and then a community member does a Google search and finds something out and says, what the heck are you guys thinking hiring this person? I'd much rather know up front, we either maybe exclude directly because that's just too much of a black mark, or we have an opportunity to head that off at the pass, you know, and a heartfelt apology, and boy, I learned my lesson and I'll never do that horrible thing again, and this is how it affected my life and I'm going to move forward. That will go a long way for me to say this person's learned, because we all make mistakes. So, but I just like to know in advance. I don't want to discover it myself, because I'm the one, I kind of discovered it while we were interviewing the person, and mm-hmm. it would be good to know.
So what's the consensus here? Do you want to have a community meeting with the department heads? And,
before the interview or after the interviews?
Well,
that's my question. Will it be uncomfortable after the interviews, because they can read us as well as we can read them, and it might be uncomfortable maybe if we did it before the interviews or something, the evening before. I don't know.
I think we bring in however many people we decide. They have enough time to hopefully tour the city and talk to department heads, and I don't think it needs to be anything formal. If I were interviewing for the job, I certainly wouldn't be sitting in my hotel room. I'd be out talking to everyone and investigating, and that's the person I want to hire. After a certain period of time, do interviews in executive session, and then later that evening we could have a community reception. It is a little awkward, though,
if you did it beforehand, maybe it wouldn't be quite so awkward.
I kind of view the community reception as a part of the interview.
Right.
Because
I've
sat through something where I learned a lot more about a person when they feel kind of groovy. And,
but we still need to have an executive.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I'm not saying not to have that, but sometimes your opinion can change.
I don't think it makes a real difference of when you're going to have that or not, because like Steve said, you're going to see him, and we're still going to have his executive session later on to discuss who we're going to hire.
Yeah.
So either way, I don't know if it's going to make them uncomfortable to do it the day before or that evening after we have executive session and talk to them.
So we can
party. I want to see him out in the public myself just to see.
We can party first and throw the axe later.
Yeah, there you go.
If I can, so Ketchikan actually did their interviews and then they did the reception later. And at first I was thinking it might be a good idea to have the reception and then the assembly interview, but now I'm thinking, because after the interviews they're going to be, so they may be a little more vocal and
unguarded.
A good idea. So if we did the executive session for the interviews during the day and then maybe that evening have a reception.
I like option one.
What's option one?
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Okay. I think there's a consensus to do with that.
Well, Steve talked about a reception. I'm just hurt that I didn't get one when you hired me.
We knew what we were getting.
My question is, there going to be free beer?
No.
You knew what you were getting.
That was quick.
All right, I'll buy.
Okay, yes.
I would still like to see sort of a weeding down process that included some kind of Skype interview before we bring them, pay the money to bring them here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we want to keep the process down as short as possible, though. Because I think that was one problem this last time was, how many were hired by somebody else before they and declined the interview for that reason, because the process went too slow.
I would prefer that we do, I think the Skype thing is good, but I think we should do that to sort of confirm out that we want to bring them up. I'd like the small committee to get it down to three, and then maybe we do a short abridged interview through Skype, because I actually, short of one individual, we wound up inviting everyone except that one individual, which was pretty obvious that it wasn't a good fit. But I think you guys could have figured that out before we got them. So
I don't know. We didn't, though. The committee didn't. Did the committee conduct
a phone interview?
No.
So that's what I'm saying. I would like you guys to talk to these people before we do, get it down to three that you think look pretty darn good, and then, or two, or whatever we decide, and then we confirm it with a Skype interview with the thing. But I think you would have picked that gentleman out in a phone interview.
It seems like
I don't see the point.
The process out.
What's that?
That seems to me like it dragged the process out.
We lost two prime candidates because we took too long.
Well,
all I'm saying is screen it down before we do our Skype thing. We had six or seven during the Skype thing.
No,
or
five,
and we went to four.
Yeah,
and then we invited all four up, and three got jobs before we got the one up. Anybody up here? So
that was because of the time that it took to get to the Skype thing. But man, I just think if the committee does a phone interview, it's just pretty much like a teleconference Skype thing, and there's no point in redoing that with the full assembly.
Fair enough. I agree with you, Julie.
So.
Well, I, for one, if we do a Skype thing, I want them up here the next week. Whoever we decide.
Mayor, so the only thing really different in the interview process this time is that we don't really have a committee. It's just Jeff and I going through those resumes. So I don't think you want him and I calling and interviewing. As I've been getting the resumes coming in, I've been very open with these people, and the communication has been back and forth that this is what we're doing, this is where we're at. They know that it's going to be a quicker turnaround, and my last part of the email is saying that, you know, we're going to, you know, immediately look at, you know, starting the interview process. It's not going to be prolonged like it was drawn out last time.
Mr. Mayor?
But I
think the telephone interviews with the assembly were a good thing. It was just the process took too long between each step. And I think if we narrow that down, I really thought we got a lot out of that discussion.
So given all this conversation, do we have a timeline that we're working with?
We
put together kind of a schedule. Uh-huh. We can't remember when the cutoff date is.
The cutoff is on the 15th. I think it's a Thursday.
So
March?
Yeah. So what we will do is, as they come in, we will do our Google search of them and probably check a couple references just to make sure they actually work someplace. And a lot of times they're not going to tell you too much more than that. But so we'll do some checking. We'll look to see if their resume makes sense, their education experience, and they'll go into a maybe pile or a not maybe pile. And then I think if we do that as we go, so when we get to the cutoff date, we're pretty much ready to have it down to a pretty reasonable amount. And if the assembly that following week wanted to, or sometime really soon, to do your Skype thing, we could do that and then make your decision on which, however many you want to bring up here. But I think there's a schedule that we're going to do this by this time and this time, and I think everybody agreed that if there wasn't an assembly member here, the process will move on. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the problem, and there's holidays and all that kind of stuff, and I think it just didn't work. So.
And with the Skype, I'll make sure to test. The three that I tested with worked very well. The other two didn't want to test. So
I would suggest, given that timeline that you're working with, that we pick a date the week following March 15th, like right now or in the next few days, and so that you actually are telling people, this is the date we're going to do, if you are chosen, this is the date we're going to do Skype interviews. So they're already planning that. So we don't have to like go back to them after March 15th saying what work time works for you and all that stuff.
Well, the next assembly meeting's on the 14th. We can make a decision then as to, we'll have it down pretty much who is going to be there, and then we probably have to make a decision then when we want to have the special meeting for the Skype interview.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think we should schedule it now, because not necessarily today, but in the next few days, maybe by email with Kim, because then she can put it on all the applicants' radar screen. So they know, oh, I've got to set aside time for March 22nd because there's going to be a Skype interview if I'm chosen. So we don't have to mess with, oh, that doesn't work with my schedule, I got something else, or whatever.
Well, how about...
In other words, I keep that date open.
That's right.
Okay. Save the date.
Yep.
How about if an assembly member makes a motion to have that, we have a special meeting to conduct those interviews for that day.
Can
and
I recommend?
If we have to change it, we can. Otherwise, the process for doing the special meeting is...
So we have a meeting on the 14th,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then this deadline's on the 15th?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I say we have a meeting on the 16th for the Skype.
Mm-hmm.
Get it done.
I would like...
I would give us a couple more days in that, because if you receive some on the 15th and you have to make calls on the 16th to see if they're...
Monday the 20th.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Monday the 20th.
Okay.
Work?
I'll make a motion to have a special meeting on Monday the 20th to Skype with the remaining interviewees.
Seconds.
Do it at noon. Is that fine?
Ben Moon's been seconded. We've had a lot of discussion. Is there anything else?
Is noon good or?
Noon is good.
Okay. Noon.
Poll vote, please.
Okay. Assembly Member Stecker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Kasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes.
Okay.
So that pretty much takes care of that.
It's amazing what happens when you set a time to hire the.
Yeah.
The acting borough manager.
Can I confirm? So is the consensus of the assembly to do option one?
I think that's where we're headed, yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, everybody leaving?
Yeah.
Thank you
for coming.
We're just getting started.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
All right.
It's a light shining off your head. item 13D, approval to change the Board of Equalization meeting date from May 8th to May 15th, 2017.
I move to approve rescheduling the annual Board of Equalization meeting from May 8th to May 15th, 2017, as requested by our assessor, Mike Renfro.
Second.
They're moved and seconded. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Kasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13E has been taken care of. Item 13F, appointment of Carol Rushmore to the interim borough manager position.
Move to approve. Point to Carol Rushmore as the interim borough manager effective April 1, 2017, and to have her start working with the manager effective March 1, 2017, with additional compensation as follows: $1,000 for the month of March and $2,500 per month effective April 1, 2017, and for each month after, with funding to come from the vacant manager position.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I think that's a good plan for her to work with you.
Excuse me. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Kasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13G, approval of a construction contract for the Waterfront Arbor Lock City Dock Project.
Move to approve bid award to BW Enterprises LLC for the construction of the the Waterfront Armor Rock City Dock Project in the amount of $31,280 funded from the Ports and Harbors Fiscal Year 17 Capital Projects Fund.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Yes.
Kasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13H, approval to write letters of support for House Bill 76, link concept resolution number 10-15-1333, and House Bill 128.
Move to approve the writing of a letter of support to House Bill 76 and House Bill 128.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Yeah.
So I asked for this. In the past, the borough approved the resolution support for amending the Mariculture Revolving Loan Fund. It's basically an effort to try to more effectively use that pot of money that the state has already created to help develop the mariculture industry in Alaska. Representative Ortiz now has a bill introduced in the legislature called HB 76 to do that. It basically follows the intent of our resolution, so I thought that it would be a good thing to put on record now that we're starting to have hearings on that bill that we support that. There's another bill that's somewhat related to mariculture development called HB 128, and what it would do is put in place a framework for the Department of Fish and Game to be able to permit and allow for shellfish enhancement. So right now the state of Alaska allows for salmon fishery enhancement, such as like our Sarah project and North Sarah and DIPAC and things like that. Salmon enhancement can be up to 30-40% of the gross of many fishermen's income. And that's after, 30-40 years of this salmon enhancement program growing in the state. But what we're looking to do is something similar with some of our shellfish fisheries. So right now, Fish and Game doesn't even have a regulatory framework to be able to do that. So they couldn't even permit for it if they wanted to, because there's nothing in writing. So this basically is just putting that regulatory framework in place. Again, it was introduced by Representative Ortiz at the request of industry and others. I also serve on the Alaska Mariculture Task Force, which was appointed by the governor. And the task force is in support of these two bills as well as many other groups. Ketchikan Gateway Borough, City of Seward, and many others.
Any further discussion? Oh, well, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Sunka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 14. Attorney's file is assembly members received a summary report. Item 15 has been removed from the agenda. Item 16, adjournment. We will adjourn at 8:18 p.m.